There's your 8 a.m. Saturday morning wake up rooster and coffee pour. We let you sleep in a little bit on the weekends before we get started on our busy week. It is the 8 o'clock hour, the outdoor and living hour here at Rosie on the House, your Arizona Saturday morning tradition for 27 years. And today we are talking trees on this Halloween broadcast, and we've got some scary topics to cover in our tree world. But first, our guests today are Talking Trees host John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service.
Hello, hello. Good morning. And I have a guest with me today, Dan Stevens of Living Tree Service. I'm glad he could come in studio and join us today.
This is your third debut on Rosie on the House. Number one was earlier this year, and Flagstaff when you were competing at the Tree Climbing Championship. Number two was at the annual tree conference on the side of a mountain. You guys, I did not get to hear that part of the broadcast, but you joined us on air. What did you think of the juniper tree?
That was pretty amazing. Yeah, that was a cool tree. Cool story behind it too.
Not what I expected to see when I got there. I mean, you get these ideas in your mind of what it's going to look like, but
that was a big juniper tree, the largest one in the world, biggest alligator juniper tree. That was awesome.
And I think our scary topic, Marie writes in and says, a few months ago, you were talking with John Eisenhower about a tree not to plant. And that actually happens to be your tree that you're bringing us today.
That's right. Every month we have our tree of the month, and it's usually an awesome tree that's going to be a perfect choice for any homeowner in a certain application. But because it's Halloween today, we thought we would pick a bad tree that you don't want, a wicked tree that it causes more trouble in landscapes around Phoenix than any other tree we know of. And it's the Dalbergia sisu. It's an Indian rosewood. It's a very aggressive growing tree, aggressive rooting tree, very fast growing tree. So they're popular. Landscapers will put them in. Nurseries love them because people like a tree that's going to achieve its landscape purpose quickly and fulfill their desires for a nice, huge shade tree. If you have the room for them in a big irrigated lot way out in the South 40, you know, it might be a good choice for you. But if you're thinking of trying to put in a tree close to a block wall, anywhere near a lawn, you need to be kind of careful because these trees send up little baby trees from their roots. And once they get established, the little sprouts will start emerging. And if you have a lawn anywhere nearby, they pop up and all of a sudden you've got thousands of little trees and a nightmare on your hands.
Where is this tree originally native?
I think it's in India. It's an Indian rosewood. And where they grow naturally, it must be a bit of a jungle because these trees are really pretty cool trees, actually. They have no thorns. They're evergreen. They're slightly frost tolerant, but they're pretty nice. The city of Scottsdale put lots of them in about 25 years ago throughout the downtown city area around Fifth Avenue, down along Main Street. And they rue the day they made that choice to put those trees in. Although they did achieve their landscape purpose, and there's a few of them that are still in town, most of those trees are gone because they've lifted the sidewalks, lifted the pavers, lifted the curbing, destroyed hardscape, and it's been a real bit of a nightmare.
We sure get a lot of phone calls from homeowners. How do I get rid of all these little things popping up in my yard? It's constant if you have one.
Yeah, and I've served as an expert witness on two litigations where homeowners who have their neighbors have the sisu trees that have grown under the block wall into their yard and destroy their landscapes, and they've asked us to come in and try to help to sort that out. So think twice before you choose a Dalbergia sisu.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. What's on our talking points for this month? Well, are we staying in October or we're going to move into November?
We're going to move on to November. Yeah, November, your pruning for this month is pretty light. You want to go light-handed. The further into the winter we go, the lighter the pruning dosage. We definitely don't want to be pruning any citrus right now, any ficus trees, at least any heavy pruning. You can do a little bit of light grooming. You can take out dead wood any time of year, but you don't want to be doing any heavy pruning of your evergreen trees, especially your frost-sensitive ones. You don't want to be taking their winter coat off right as we're turning the corner into a possible freeze. Your deciduous trees, on the other hand, we can start pruning those in December. So, you know, your Chinese elms and your mulberries and all your trees that lose their leaves this time of year, you can prune in December and January. In fact, that's an optimum time to prune those.
Do you wait till the leaves fall off, or can you start pruning when there's still leaves on the tree?
Well, you know, you can prune with the leaves still on the trees. It's not that critical that you wait till they have dropped all their leaves. We actually like to prune them just before the leaf drop, because then we can identify the deadwood a little more easily and make sure you can get that out, get all that deadwood out. If you wait till they're completely devoid of leaves, sometimes it's hard to even see the deadwood and the live wood, and it makes it a little bit more time consuming to do a good job of pruning.
The tree itself feels so naked without the leaves on it, too. It's hard to look at that and say, this is the one we need to prune off.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing to prune your evergreen trees in the winter. And we do a lot of pruning of some of those elms, ash, mulberries, pistache in the wintertime.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. We have two. Are you a certified arborist, Dan?
I am, yes.
I figured you were. So we have two ISA certified arborists in studio with us this morning talking trees. You had mentioned the sisu is a horrible tree to plant. What would be a better option for me? A better evergreen option?
You know, I was going to say a pistache would be a great option. Dan and I were talking about that before we came on, that the pistache is a great replacement tree, but it is a deciduous tree, loses its leaves. Go ahead.
Before you go to the next tree, that red push pistache, when I started 16 years ago, no one was talking about it. And now everyone's talking about it, and it's in every nursery.
It's a great tree. My first choice for an evergreen tree to replace a sisu would be the Texas live oak, the Quercus virginiana. It's a really durable tree. There's a heritage live oak as well that has a little broader, more of a shade tree form. But the Texas live oak is a great choice because it keeps its leaves all year, and it's a tall and pretty good sized shade tree. Good replacement.
Do you have a favorite, Dan?
For evergreen, I agree with John that the live oak is great. If you're looking at maybe a desert species variety, I think the Texas ebony is a good choice. Stays pretty green, dark green foliage.
It's a very rich green.
Yeah.
It is. That's beautiful. It's a lot like the Texas live oak, too. It's the same kind of dark green leaf contrast with a dark green bark. But one of them's easier to trim than the other. The Texas ebony is not real user friendly, but they are a beautiful tree. But my guys ask for hazard pay when they have to trim those.
And it's very deceitful if you've never trimmed one before. When you go trim a mesquite or a palo verde, the thorns can be pretty obvious. Those thorns on most of those ebonies, they're not the most obvious until you grab it.
Yeah. They are sharp, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you pay your guys extra? They deserve it.
Yeah, the needles kind of hide in between the leaves there. And they're really short, and they're sharp, and it's just, they'll go right through your gloves. Whereas a palo verde or a mesquite, you know, you can see them. They're a little bit larger. You can work around them. But, man, it's a little short, sharp ones are tough.
Ironwood is my favorite still, though. As much as I like the Texas ebony for a desert native tree, the ironwood's hard to beat.
I think I would have to agree. I would definitely put in an ironwood before a Texas ebony, but the Texas ebony is a strikingly attractive tree. It really is. The ironwood's a little grayer, looks a little less attractive in the landscape, but
they're pretty different in their shape as well, aren't
sure.
they? Yeah.
Yeah. The ironwood's going to be more open. The ebony's extremely dense. Can't see through that. Great shade value. And a little slower growing. Both are slow growing. They're not going to be like your mesquite or palo verde. They're going to be ones that take several years longer to achieve their landscape purpose.
Which is fine if you're going to be in the house a long time. There's no reason to get in a big hurry to plant a huge tree or put something that's going to be slow growing.
Yeah, it just depends. Some people want that quick, two or three year nice shade tree, and they're not wanting to wait around 15 or 20 years. So. Just depends. But you need to look into that when you make your tree selection. Look at your, you know, whether it's a slow-growing or fast-growing tree.
How much tree planting do y'all do? of all the ACTC events I've been to, there's just a very little bit of time spent actually planting. Most of the work, it seems, dedicated to pruning, disease identification, fertilizing. How much planting do y'all do?
Well, you know, we've been doing a fair amount just recently, but we really refer a lot of that work to the nurseries because they warranty the trees that they plant, and they do a great job for us. You know, John Harper, I just spoke to him this week about him helping us with some of our planting projects, because we devote a lot of time to our pruning work, and planting is it's dirt work. We're paying our workman's comp rates are being paid to on workers that are climbing above ground. So to be doing dirt work and shovel work to plant a tree is not the best way for our customers to pay a little higher dollar for us to do that work when a nursery can come do it sometimes cheaper and just as well. And when you work with a good, reliable company like Harper's Nursery, we love the work they do. They plant trees according to the ANSI standards at or slightly above grade, and we just love the finished product that we get working with a company like that.
We'll get to our calls right after this. Max wants to talk about a sisu tree, and it may be too close to his house. I think he heard your opening story, and he's wondering, am I on dangerous grounds? And then Darren wants to talk about, I don't know what Darren wants to talk about, but he's in Santan Valley. And an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348.